All God's people said, amen. Amen. If you would, those of you who can, stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, we read, long ago, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. That is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, speak to us today. Lord, may we hear Your call, the call of God to be loved by the Creator of this universe. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're looking at, for the next couple of weeks, what on earth am I here for? You will never understand your purpose and your calling in life if it starts with you. You see, for you to understand your purpose in life and your calling in life, it must start with God. And it starts with God because He created you in His image. And so the starting place is to start with God and His nature, because it's only when you understand God's nature will you understand God's purpose in creating you. Many years ago, a man was stuck on the side of the road. He was not real happy with his Model T Ford. I mean, it just wouldn't go. And a fellow came by and stopped and said, "You need some help?" And he said, "Well, I just can't get it to work. Don't know what's wrong." The fellow got out, made some adjustments, and says, "All right, now let's see if we can get it to crank." That thing fired right up and hummed. And the guy said, "Well, that's amazing. How did you know what to do?" He said, "Well, that's simple. My name's Henry Ford." Well, he had invented it. He had created it. He knew how it was supposed to work. Well, guess what? Before the world was ever created, God had a plan. God had a purpose for your life. He created you. He made you. And He knows why you're here and what your purpose in life is. And what you need to understand is that God made you and created you so that He could love you. I want you to think about that. The ants, they don't love God. The fish don't love God. The, cows don't love. But we're made in the image of God. We have the capacity to love because we're made in God's image. And the Bible says God is love. It doesn't say God is loving. It's not a characteristic of God. It is His nature. It is who He is. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about something you've probably heard about all of your life, but if you will understand it, it will change your life. I promise you. The first thing I want you to see is that the first purpose of my life is to be loved by God. In Jude chapter 1, actually there's only one chapter. Jude, you know what Jude is. This is the next to the last book in your Bible. One of the shortest books in your Bible, and it starts off, "This letter is from Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. I'm writing to all who are called to live in the love of God the Father and in the care of Jesus Christ." You understand that Jude is the half-brother of Jesus. A lot of folks think that Jesus was an only child, but He had four brothers. We're told His name in Matthew's gospel. He had at least two sisters, because it says in the plural, so you got to have at least two of them. And so here's Jude, but notice Jude doesn't say, "I am Jude, the half-brother of Jesus." Notice here, he doesn't drop names. He doesn't say, I am important because I know somebody that's important. Instead, he said, you know, I'm just a servant. But notice here what he's saying. He's saying, we are called to live in the love of God. Before God ever created the earth, God wanted a family, and God wanted you to be in that family. You understand, your first purpose in life is not something to do. Your first purpose in life is something to get. That is, you're to receive the love of God. That is God's reason for making you. Your first purpose isn't to learn. It isn't to listen. It isn't to pray. It isn't to give. It isn't to serve God. Your first purpose in life is to allow God to love you. That's why He made you. He made you so He could shower His love upon you. The second thing I want you to see is my first calling is to enjoy a relationship with God. When Paul wrote to the Romans in verse 7 of chapter 1, he wrote, "Dear friends in Rome, God loves you dearly and has called you to be His very own people." Notice here, we're not talking about religion. We're not talking about rules. We're not talking about regulations. We're not talking about rituals. We're talking about having a relationship with the Creator of the universe. God wants you to enjoy a relationship with Him. You understand that God's not calling you to be His soldier this morning. He's not calling you to be His warrior and to go out and fight the good fight. He's not calling you to be His worker. He's not calling you to be His minion. He is calling you to be His child. He is calling you to be in a loving relationship with God. But there are so many people, and I'm afraid they've heard about the love of God, but they have never understood it. They've never experienced it. You see, they've never been in a relationship. It's all about do's and don'ts and rules and regulations. It's all about religion. And I'm not saying that all that stuff is bad. I'm saying that's not the main point. God wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him. Recently, one of our church members told me that they were in a line at the grocery store. And as they were there in the grocery store line, there was an older gentleman. And as he checked out, he said to the cashier, "I just want to remind you something. God loves you." The cashier said, "Well, thank you." Our church member came up, and this cashier had this big glow on their face. And they looked at him and said, "You know, that fella's the nicest man." And you know, it wasn't that the man was all that nice, but in us, there is this hunger and a desire to know God. And people are chasing after so many things, trying to fill up that vacuum that's in their soul that longs to love and to know God. And then thirdly, I want you to see my relationship to God is to be a son or a daughter. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, we read, "What an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we should be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are." You know what? It is something that many of you, you heard your whole life, God loves you, God loves you. It's an amazing truth. But some of you right now are sitting in your seat and you're bored. You're bored. Okay, I know God loves me. Let's just move on. Listen, if you're bored with the love of God, you have never really understood it. Folks, I want you to know this. In a couple of weeks, Teresa and I, we're going to celebrate 32 years of marriage. And I want you to know that woman still excites me after 32 years. I'm not bored. And I think when you come into the house of God and somebody's talking about God and He loves you, "Oh yeah, I heard that, got the t-shirt, let's move on." Listen, you don't need to move on because you've never gotten it. Because if you ever understand how much God loves you, you will never, ever get over it. Oh, let me tell you how Ephesians describes it. In verse 17, Paul says, I pray. And listen, folks, if you get it today, pray for folks that don't get it. He said, I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust Him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be able to complete. You'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Listen, some of you have heard about it. You've been taught about it. But the truth of it is, if you've never experienced the love of God, I want you to look at that word there in verse 19. May you experience the love of God. Now, many translations use the word know. May you know the love of God. And that word know is the word epinosko, and it means to know intimately. And for example, when the Bible says Adam knew Eve, it's not talking about he knew what her favorite dish was. Now, you understand when the Bible says that a man knew a woman, he's talking about he knows her intimately. And this is this word translated experience. Listen, I know a lot of things about Barack Obama, but I don't know him. He don't know me. There's folks who know things about God, but they have never known, they have never experienced the love of God firsthand. This morning, I'll tell you, I mean, how do you explain the unexplainable? Yeah, I really feel like, it's trying to, like, explain the internet to an ant. I mean, how do you do that? Huh? How do you explain God who is infinite to human beings that are finite? Well, Leonard, nobody in this congregation may get what I'm going to say, but I believe you'll get it. You see, all my life as a Christian for 40 years, I'd read about Jesus going down to the Jordan River and being baptized by John. Can I tell you, I've seen it on television. I've seen it where they've got first-class actors and they use million-dollar sets. And I'd heard it and I'd studied it and I knew all about it. I'd preached on it. But can I tell you, last year, I went down into the Jordan River where Jesus was. I was baptized in the same water He was. And when I come out of that water, you see, I had experienced what I'd only studied about. And a lot of folks have studied about the love of God, but they've never experienced it firsthand. And what does he say in Ephesians? He said, I pray that you would experience the love of God. And then he described the love of God in four ways. The first one is, God's love is wide enough to be everywhere. You know, it amazes me when people try to run from God. Because you see, wherever you run to, God's already there. I mean, you can't go anywhere in this world where God is not already there. And you understand, wherever you go, God is trying to communicate His love to you. You just have to tune in to it. Did you know right now, at this very moment, that this room is filled with music? Let's stop for a moment. Can you hear it? You say, I don't hear it, preacher. Let me tell you why. You're not tuned into it. You know, if I had my AM radio up here, if I had my FM radio and I turned that on and I were to adjust my tuner, all of a sudden it'd start playing music. Let me tell you why. The music's in the air right now. Did you know there are color images from the television that are in the air right now? You can't see them. Why? You don't have a tuner. I'll tell you what freaks me out. The other day I was at the hospital visiting. And I told the person, I said, well, I'm probably going to lose you because I'm fixing to get in the elevator. And I got in the elevator. You know, it's a metal box. It's encased in a concrete structure. And from the whole time I was on the telephone, I never lost a signal. I thought, man, if it's going through the steel and the concrete, what's it doing to my brain? But you understand, right now, there are actually phone conversations going on all around us. But you don't hear it. You know why? You're not tuned into it. And you see, God's love is wherever you go. I mean, if you go to Australia, the love of God is there. If you go down to the honky-tonk on Saturday night, can I tell you, the love of God is there. The people may not be tuned into it, but God's love is everywhere. That's how wide it is. Well, how long is it? God's love is long enough to last forever. Some of you in this room, you know what it's like to experience human love that doesn't last forever. I wish I could tell you as a pastor that every couple that I married was still married, but they're not. You see, human love doesn't always last. That's why we have breakups. That's why we have divorces. But can I tell you about the love of God? The love of God is long enough that it's never, 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 never going to go away. How long is the love of God? Long enough to last forever. And then number three, God's love is deep enough to handle anything. Some of you in here this morning, and you're at the best place you've ever been in your life. Life is good. But the truth of the matter is, some of you are here, you're in a hard place. You've got problems. You say, hey, my life right now is the pits. I mean, I'm at the bottom. It can't get any lower. Can I tell you that the love of God goes to the bottom of any pit? If your life is in the pits, the love of God is lower than your pit. Again, when we was over there in the Holy Land, we went to Caiaphas' house. And you know what there is in Caiaphas' house? There's a pit. And they lowered Jesus down into that pit. It's three stories deep. I mean, you know, we just kept going down and down and down and down. Well, that's where they put Jesus. That's where he spent the night. Listen, he's been in the pit. And when you're in the pit, he's in the pit with you. His love is deeper than any problem you'll ever have. And then number four, how high is the love of God? It's high enough to overlook my mistakes. You see, it's high enough that God says, listen, you've messed up, you've got failures, you've sinned, but you know what? God says you can have a fresh start. I want you to think about it. Before God ever created you, before the creation of the earth, God looked down into eternity. God saw you. God had a purpose for your life. You're breathing today because God wanted you to be alive so that he could love on you. Listen, I love technology when it works. But we had the benefit that when both of our children were born, there was a technology called ultrasound. And I remember that one of the tests that my wife had, it came back and it came back positive. And so they thought there were some problems. And so every little while we would have an ultrasound. Then we'd have another one because they thought that he was going to have some birth defects. The good news is he is born without any. But you know what happened over that period of time as we're watching that ultrasound? You know, I'm watching him move. I'm watching him sometimes suck his thumb on this ultrasound. Sometimes it looks like he's smiling on it. And what it was is we're watching him before he ever came into this world. We was loving for him. We was caring for him. We couldn't wait for him to get into this world so we could love on him. Do you know that's how God feels about every one of you? Before you were ever created, you were in the heart of God. While you were in your mother's womb, he saw you. I want you to know everything that's ever happened in your life, he's been there. And he created you and you're alive so that God could love on you. Folks, if you ever get a hold of this, it'll change your life. What would happen if you were, when you woke up in the morning, you were aware that God loved you? When you ate your lunch, your breakfast, you were aware that God loved you. As you drove to work, you were aware how much God loves you. When you get home and you're working in your backyard, you realized how much God loved you. When you sat down to eat supper, you were aware of how much God loves you. When you watched television that night, you realized how much God loved you. If you are aware of the love of God all the time of your life, it'd change everything about your life. I want to mention to you five changes. I could tell you 100. But I learned a long time ago the brain can't absorb more than the seat can endure. So we're going to limit it to five. Okay? The first one is, if I'm aware of God's love, I will feel accepted rather than ashamed. I will feel accepted rather than ashamed. In verse number 1 of Romans 5, by faith we've been made acceptable to God. And now because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live at peace with God. Did you know there are a lot of people that avoid God? They avoid talking about God, thinking about God. They just avoid God. Let me tell you why people avoid it. And that's because they're ashamed. They've done things and said things and they've been places and they're ashamed of it. And they understand God is a holy God. God is a perfect God. And they are not perfect and they are not holy. And so if I'm in a relationship with God, I'm going to be constantly reminded of all my failures. Not true. Listen, if you understand how much God loves you and how much God cares about you, you're not ashamed. You're accepted. Here a while back, my sister told me, she says, our nephew was talking about you the other day. And I said, really, what'd he say? He said, he felt like that you judged him. I said, really? And my sister said to him, says, well, has he ever said anything to you? And he said, no, he's never said anything to me. And my sister said to him, said, well, he's never judged me. I've never heard him say anything about you. I haven't. But you see, he feels that way. And the reason he feels ashamed is because he's not living the kind of life he ought to be living. But if he understood how much God loved him and he experienced the love of God, instead of feeling shame, he would feel acceptance. I'm a child of the King. In Romans 8, verse 33, it says, if God says his chosen ones are acceptable to him, can anyone bring charges against them? Or can anyone condemn them? No. Indeed, Christ died and was raised to life, and now he is at God's right side speaking to him for us. Do you understand that God loves you unconditionally, and that in Jesus Christ you are acceptable unto him? Now I want you to just think for a moment. I don't really want you to have bad thoughts at church, but I want you to think, what's the worst thing you've ever done? I want you to think about the worst that you've ever been. I mean, if you could go back, you'd say, man, this was me at my worst. Can I tell you, God didn't love you any more sitting in God's house today than he loved you when you were at your worst. God loves you unconditionally. At your best, at your worst, God still loves you the same. That makes you acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm telling you, this will change your life if you understand it. Some of you here today, you have approval addiction. And that is, you live for the approval of other people. You are happy if they approve of you, and you are sad if they don't approve of you. Listen, if you ever understand who you are in Jesus Christ and God loves you unconditionally, it won't make any difference if people approve of you or not. Well, we came out here to have a service. I met with the choir. When I walked in, the first thing they said to me is, preacher, your ears burning? Said, we was talking about you. Can I tell you what? That don't bother me. I think it was probably good, but if it's bad, let me tell you what, that still doesn't bother me. Let me tell you why. Listen, I discovered that God loves me. And so if God loves me and he cares about me and I'm acceptable to God, what's your problem? What's your problem? Yeah, you understand if this ever gets hold of your heart, criticism won't affect you like it affects other people. You understand when you pastor a church of 1,200 people, there's a lot of criticism. You understand when you're on the front line, you're the one that take the arrows, you're the one that take the bullets. And how do you deal with that? You deal with it, you just let God love on you. He accepts me. He loves me. I'm his child. It don't make any difference what anybody else thinks. I got the approval of the King of the universe. And then secondly, I am bold in bringing my needs to God. I really understand who I am and how much he loves me. Notice here what it says in Romans chapter 8. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. And since we are his children, we share in his treasures. For everything God gives to his Son, Christ, is ours too. You understand that if God is your Father, Jesus Christ is your Savior, that when you call on God, you call on him as Abba. Abba is the Hebrew term that is the equivalent of daddy. You understand that it's not a formal, but it's an intimate saying. And if he's your daddy, you can call him. Can I tell you one of the things about my kids that I love when they were small? It's when they was little, okay? When they was little, one thing I love about my kids, they thought I could do anything. They thought I knew the answer to everything. They thought I could fix everything. They thought I owned everything. And so they would come, Daddy, do this. Daddy, do that. Daddy, do this. And you know what? They'd come bold. Why? Because they believe I could do everything. Now they got older and they found out different. Okay? But let me tell you, my Father in heaven, he knows everything. He owns everything. He can do everything. And so I can go to my Father in confidence and boldness and say, Daddy, I got a problem. And he can handle it. And he can handle it. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I don't know who you think is the greatest president that we've ever had in the United States, but my opinion is Abraham Lincoln is our greatest president. And the reason I believe that is he faced the greatest crisis, a civil war, where over 2 million Americans killed each other, and he navigated us through that. But you know, one of the things that really fascinates me about Abraham Lincoln was how he treated his son, Tad. You see, his son, Tad, even though here he is, the most powerful man in the world, he has the greatest crisis, a civil war. He's got people from all over the world coming to the Oval Office, standing outside of his door, wanting a piece of his flesh. He gave his son permission, Tad, to interrupt him at any time. And so here's the Secretary of War, and they're going over the plans to keep the Union together. And here comes little Tad. He just barges right on in. Hey, Daddy, I need to talk to you. Abraham Lincoln says, hold on a second. I need to see what Tad wants. There were times when Abraham Lincoln was president that Tad bring his little wagon, had all of his stuff in it. And there's a line of people all the way down the hallway wanting to see the president. But you know what Tad do? He come pulling his little wagon. He just come by every one of them. He just open up that door. He just walk on in and said, hey, Dad, you see all this stuff I got? Do you understand that that's the relationship you have with the Creator of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You can bring your little wagon with all of your stuff and you can interrupt God at any time. You have an all-access pass to God. Folks, if that don't change your life, I don't know what's going to. You see, when you understand how much God loves you. I mean, why did Abraham let little Tad do that? He loved him. That's how God loves us. That's how God loves you. And then number three, I really understand how much God loves me. I have a peace and pain that I don't understand. In Romans 8:28, it says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Friend, I'm not going to deny the fact that life is hard. Life is difficult. I want you to know that there is evil in the world. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. With that in mind, I want to just make a couple of statements. Number one, we do not have the right to question what God allows in his will. God is God, I am not, and He don't need my permission, and He don't have to give me an explanation for what He does. Number two, I want you to realize that every bad thing that happens in the world is not the will of God. How do I know that? The Bible says God hates evil, and evil is in the world. There is evil and hardship and heartache in the world because God wants you to choose to love Him. Folks, if you don't have a choice to love God, it's not love. You can't make somebody love you. If you make them, it's not love. And so in order to give us a choice to love God back, God had to give us free will. And in free will, people make bad decisions. And whether I make them or whether you make them, that creates hardship and it creates difficulties in life. But can I tell you this? Explanations don't give you peace. You say, well, God, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me now? Did you know if God told you everything, it still wouldn't give you peace? How do I know that? Well, as a teenage boy, my mama was standing there laughing and she fell on the floor dead, 40 years of age. You know what? They did a medical autopsy. They came back and said my mother had a birth defect. She had arteries and veins the size of a 7-year-old child. Did you want me to tell you what? When I got that explanation, I said, "Woo, man, that makes sense. Now I'm happy." No. You see, it didn't change the thing. It didn't give me peace. It didn't make me happy. It didn't take away the loss that I suffered that my mother died. But you want me to tell you what did give me peace? What gave me peace was knowing that God loved me no matter what was happening around me. You want me to tell you what gave me peace? What gave me peace is to know that my mother had experienced the love of God, that she was in another place. And because of the love of God, I'd see my mama again. And next time when I see her, I won't be separated. You see, the presence and the promises of God is what gives you peace, folks. It's not an explanation. Well, if I just understood, well, it won't change a thing. And then number four, if you understand the love of God, you'll gain courage to take risk. In 1 John 4:18, it says, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love." Notice that it says perfect love casts out fear. What's the only perfect love? That's God's love. What are we talking about today? God made you to love you. Did you know it brings pleasure to God to love you? Did you know it brings pleasure to God when you love God? And His perfect love will give you the courage and the confidence to step out of your comfort zone and to do something that is beyond yourself. Folks, I want you to know I have a member. There's a member of this church that gives me a hard time. They give me a harder time than anybody else. I mean, sometimes they make my life miserable. Let me tell you who that person is. I'll give you their initials. How's that? Their initials are Dennis Bean. I give me a harder time than anybody. And, you know, sometimes as you're trying to lead a congregation and all the different things and all the different ways that you're pulled apart, sometimes I just feel like I can't do it. You know, God, I just can't do it. And then I'll look over here at my wife and she'll just smile. She'll look over there and smile and say, "You can do it." You want me to tell you what? I'm ready to charge hell with a water pistol. I say, "Yeah, I can do it." You know, when somebody believes in you, it just gives you an enormous amount of energy. Well, can't I tell you something? God believes in you. God loves you. And when you understand that, it will energize you. You're not paralyzed by the fear of failure. "Well, I'd like to do this for God, but I'm afraid." Listen, if you understand how much He loves you, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. Any of you watch The Voice or American Idol or any of that kind of stuff? There's a show like that over in Britain. I think it's called Britain's Got Talent. Not too long ago, there's a 9-year-old boy, amazing singer, and he was on there. Well, you can imagine being a 9-year-old boy standing out there, all those lights, all those thousands of people. And he walked out there on the stage. His name's Malachi Paul. He's an amazing singer. And he walked out there and he looked at all those people and he went to sing and he started crying. He got stage fright. He got all tore up. You know what happened? His mom was right over here on the side. And when she saw what was happening, she just came out there and she just put her arms around him and she just hugged him and loved on him and kissed on him. And he wiped his tears, got his composure, and knocked the ballpark. I'm telling you, hit the ball right out of there. Made it all the way to the semifinals. What changed? It was somebody loved him and gave him the confidence to step out. Well, can I tell you, somebody loves you more than mama, and that is God himself. And when you understand how much God loves you, it will empower you to step out in faith. And then the last thing, like I said, this is just five. If you understand the love of God, you can worship instead of worry. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, so don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Can I tell you what worship is? It's just as simple as you can make it. Worship is simply you expressing your love to God. That's all worship is. You see, it's not a style of music. It's not a style of church. Worship is simply God is loving me and I'm just loving God back. And that, my friend, is worship. You see, the problem for many of you is you think, I just don't love God enough. That's not your problem. Your problem is you don't know how much God loves you. Because you see, if you understood how much God loves you, you wouldn't have a problem loving God. In Romans 6:13, it says, give yourselves completely to God since you have been given new life. And then lastly, John says, to all who believed him and accepted him, Jesus gave the right to become the children of God. I want to close by telling you a true story that I think brings all this together. Any of you guys, talking to the guys, I don't know that the girls, they may let them do it now. Any of you guys take shop in junior high school? All right, for those of you who didn't take shop, back when I was in junior high school, people would take shop because it's called a crip course. Y'all know what that is? That means it's easy. That means there's not a lot of books to read. That means there's not a lot of studying to do. You don't go down there and make stuff. Go tear stuff up, okay? It's shop. Well, in the seventh grade, I have a friend. He signed up to take shop because, you see, he had all of these hard academic courses, these advanced courses. And he said, I'm going to take shop. I need a crip course. The only problem with that was, is he had two left thumbs. Okay? Now you understand that some people are book smarts, but when it comes to their hands, they just can't do anything right. Well, this was this guy. And he had two left thumbs, but he thought this was going to be easy. He had a six-month project. And so he set out with this ambitious project. And he said, I'm going to make a table. And I'm going to make it for my mom and dad. You know, they've been married, and I'm going to give it to them at the end. I'm going to get an A. It'll be an easy A. And I'm going to get an A, but then I'll have something to give my mom and dad. They'll be so proud. Problem was, he had two left thumbs. He wasn't very good at it. And to make matters worse, his dad was a master craftsman. You understand, guys, that your children ain't going to be like you. You might be a world-class athlete, and they might be a klutz, okay? You might be a genius, and they may just be a good old boy. Well, his dad was a craftsman, a master craftsman. This guy's the klutz, okay? And so he gets out there in the barn, and he's working on it. He tells his parents, now, you can't come out here in the barn. It's a surprise. And so he's working on it. After 6 months, he goes out there, and one day he looks at it. It's all whoppy-jawed. I mean, it's not square. It's not level. It's hobbled. I mean, it's a mess. He just breaks down, starts crying. He just starts sobbing. His dad goes by the barn. He hears his son out there just sobbing and crying. And so he knows he's not supposed to go in. So he knocks on the door. And he said, son, this is dad. Can I come in? He said, yeah, dad, come on in. He came in. And he said, what's wrong? He said, dad, he said, I've been working on this table for 6 months. It's a project at school. He said, I'm going to fail. And he said, but you know, I was making it for you and mom. And said, look at it. It's a mess. It's a disaster. He said, dad, I tried my best. And he said, it just didn't turn out right. He's just crying and sobbing. His dad goes over there and he puts his arms around him. And he said, son, it's okay. We can do it again. We can start over. And this time I will help you. Folks, don't you understand that's exactly what God does? We're trying in this world, in this life, the best we can. We mess it up. It's all out of whop. We get all tore out of frame. And God comes and He knocks on the heart of our door. He puts His arms around us. He said, son, let's do it again. And this time I will help you. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Do you understand how deep and how wide and how long the love of God is for you? Friend, I can't tell it to you, but the Holy Spirit of God can reveal it to you. You've learned about the love of God, but today God asks you to experience the love of God. I wonder who would come today and say, God, I've tried to make life work the best I could. But Lord, it's all out of whack. God, none of it lines up. God, I wanted to do something beautiful, but Lord, my life hadn't turned out that way. Would you come today and let God, He's knocking on your heart. Would you let God put His arm around you? Would you let God give you a brand new start? And this time, let Him help you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank You that before the world was ever formed, God, that You loved us. At our worst, at our best, God, You love us the same. Help us now, God, to experience Your unconditional love. We'll make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.